Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
The Bible says that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And yet, we find these interesting passages. In Exodus 20, it says that Moses appeared in the thick darkness where God was. In 1 Kings, it says the Lord said He would dwell in the thick darkness. Psalm 18 says He made darkness His hiding place. And Psalm 97 said clouds and thick darkness surround Him. Now these are likely references to the cloud of smoke that led Israel, or allegories of His mysteriousness and transcendence. But the truth is, sometimes God can be found in our darkest hours. Here are some occasions when God visited people in an hour of darkness. In Genesis 15, Abram is just getting to know Jehovah God. And it says, God took Abram outside and said, "Now look toward the heavens and count the stars if you are able to count them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." Then Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. This is the foundation of the gospel. Paul quotes this passage as proof that all men are saved by faith. And he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess it." But he said, "Lord God, how may I know that I will possess it?" Abram believed the Lord, but he still had questions. Questions and unbelief are not the same. So he said to him, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." And then he brought all these to him and cut them in two and laid each half opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds. And birds of prey came down upon the carcasses, and Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was gone down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him. God has just declared that Abram is righteous because he believed the Lord. He has now introduced the reality of the promised land. And Abram has offered a sacrifice in obedience, and yet terror and great darkness fell upon him. Even though you are a believer, even though you are obedient, there are moments when you are afraid. There are moments of darkness. We all have them. These moments are opportunities for God to show Himself. They are opportunities for you to solidify your relationship with Him. Then God said to Abram, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years, but I will also judge the nation whom they will serve, and afterward they will come out with many possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you will be buried at a good old age." This is the first mention of the afterlife. And it happened in the darkness. Now it came about when the sun had set that it was very dark, and behold, a smoking oven and a flaming torch appeared, which passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt as far as the river Euphrates." God made a covenant with Abram in the darkness. Here's another story of a famous patriarch. In Genesis 32, "Now Jacob got up that same night and took his two wives, his two handmaids, and his 11 children, and crossed the shallow place at the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and he sent across whatever he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have contended with God and with men, and have prevailed." So Jacob said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared." Now the sun rose upon him just as he crossed over Peniel, and he was limping on his hip. Jacob was alone in darkness, and God showed up. It was life-changing. His identity was changed. His walk was changed. He was never the same after he met God in darkness. Here's a story of the first prophet. Now the boy Samuel was attending to the service of the Lord before Eli. And a word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. But it happened at that time that Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to be so poor he could not see well, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out. It was a dark time in Israel. A word from God was rare. There was little vision. The seer could barely see, and the light was almost gone. Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So when he went and lied down, the Lord called him again, "Samuel." So he went up to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Go back and lie down." It's almost like a parent who's trying to sleep and the child keeps asking for a drink of water. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time. And he got up and he went to Eli and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. Only took him three times. And Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. And it shall be if he calls you that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down again in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am going to do a thing in Israel, and the ears of everyone who hear about it will ring." Sometimes we think this was some ethereal voice, but it says the Lord stood and called him. It was very real. God will stand with you in the darkness. He will speak to you in the darkness. There are some key elements in the Christmas story that happen in darkness. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, did not want to disgrace her and planned to send her away secretly. But when he thought this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. This happened four times to Joseph. The angel spoke to him in the darkness of sleep about the greatest event in history. And in the same region, there were shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock at night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood near them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." It was dark, and the shepherds were frightened, and in the darkness, they found good news. Remember this story? After Jesus had sent crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, that's between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, he came to them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Now, first, I want to mention that Jesus often went by himself at night to pray, and we would do well to follow his example. It was dark, and when they saw him, they were terrified. But when Jesus spoke to them out of the darkness, he dispelled their fears. Jesus will speak to you in your dark hours to remove your fear. In Acts chapter 12, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church to do them harm, and he had James, the brother of John, executed with a sword. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter as well. Now these were the days of the unleavened bread. And when he had arrested him, he put him in prison, turning him over to 4 squads of soldiers to guard him, intending only after the Passover to bring him before the people. So Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made to God fervently by the church. And on the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers bound with 2 chains, and guards in the front door were watching over the prison. Peter was in a cold, dark cell. What could be more despairing? And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly stood near Peter, and a light shone in the cell. And he struck Peter's side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Put on your belt and strap on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he continued to follow. And yet he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but he thought he was seeing a vision. Sometimes the Lord sends help in our hour of darkness, and we think it's not real, but it is more real than the darkness itself. Now, when they had passed the 1st and 2nd guard, they came to an iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out and went along 1 street, and immediately the angel departed from him. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all the Jewish people were expecting." Doors will open for you in the darkness, and you will find freedom. And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. When he knocked at the door of the gate, a servant woman named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing in front of the gate. And they said to her, "You are out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so. And they said, "It is his angel." But Peter continued to knock. And when they opened the door, they saw him and were amazed. I love these people of great faith. They're gathered together praying fervently. "Oh Lord, please release Peter from prison." And when Rhoda interrupts their prayer meeting to announce that their prayers have been answered, they called her crazy. You know, I think we can get so caught up with our agenda that we miss what God is doing right at our front door. Another prison ministry story occurs in Acts 16. It happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave woman who had a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing great profit to her masters by fortune-telling. So she followed Paul and us and cried out repeatedly, saying, "These men are bondservants of Most High God, who are proclaiming to you a way of salvation. First of all, dabbling in the occult is neither fun nor safe. Second, Jesus is not a way, he is the way. Now she continued doing this for many days, but Paul became greatly annoyed, and he turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out at that very moment. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was suddenly gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, "These men, Jews as they are causing our city trouble, and they are proclaiming customs that are not lawful for us to accept or practice, since we are Romans." You see, Caesar had declared that he was God, and so to proclaim anyone other than Caesar as God was against Roman law. But these people were really more concerned about losing their profits than they were keeping the Roman law. So the crowd joined them in an attack against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. And when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them secretly. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all of the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. Sometimes the best thing you can do in the darkness is worship God. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, thinking that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are here." And the jailer asked for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of God to him, together with all who were in the house. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. And he brought them into his house and set food before them, and was overjoyed, since he had become a believer in God together with his whole household. When the Lord does a miracle in your life, it will affect everyone around you. The jailer went from suicidal tendency to finding eternal life. By the way, people have misused this line often, saying, "You will be saved, you and your household," to believe that if one person in the family gets saved, then the whole family is saved. It means the offer is good to the whole family, but they must also believe. In this case, they all believed and they were all baptized. Therefore, they were all saved. So many of the heroes in the Old Testament and New Testament saw God move powerfully when they were in an hour of darkness. Perhaps you are in an hour of darkness right now. Darkness is not always something to fear. Sometimes it is God's opportunity to move in your life. The opening words of the Bible are, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and desolate emptiness, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." The Spirit of God might be hovering over you right now, getting ready to bring light into your darkness. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, and your justice like the noonday sun. This is Jim Barrier on Since You Asked.
Since You Asked is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.